Good morning, Tucson, and welcome to Jump in Tucson on 1030 The Voice. That's Matt Neely behind the glass. He'll be making sure we stay on time and target and move forward. Matt, I'll tell you, last week I had the privilege of being in Wisconsin for the July 4th weekend. Very patriotic place to be for 4th of July.
You traded heat for humidity.
It was probably the best weather in several summers I've had in Wisconsin.
Nice.
But the reason I bring it up is I found it very interesting, their political dynamics when I was there. I figured I was going to go in and historically we've seen tons of, you know, signs for candidates for Trump, Biden, all that. Over the years, there's just been a lot of signage out there for the candidates. Saw almost zero candidate signs.
Wow.
And I kind of think it says where we've gotten to now. The signs were took two form. One said, "Have you had enough? Vote Republican." And they were all over the place. And the other one that I was surprised was all over the place as well in northern Wisconsin was, "Vote for the Democrats, they vote for us."
Hmm.
But the thing that caught my attention is it wasn't about the candidates. Mm-hmm. It was just about the parties.
So from a marketing standpoint, it could be very good branding. That way you kind of take everybody along for the ride. But I think, you know, you also might, I think, you've commented that perhaps that's a sign of the times, right?
Absolutely. And I think we've talked about the purpose of the engagement hours to get people to get involved, to get engaged, be active citizens in our country, support the greatest country in the world. And one of the big roles there is to vote. And more importantly, to be an informed voter.
Yes.
And so when we just throw the signs out, it's not. So today I'm going to have the honor of having the two candidates for the state Senate in LD-17. Former State Senator Vince Leach and State Senator Justine Watzak. So we're going to help you get informed so you can make a good decision on who these candidates are. So, Senator Leach, I appreciate you taking the time this morning to join me.
You bet.
2 years ago, obviously, you were the sitting state senator running for office, and now you're on the other side trying to unseat the incumbent.
Yeah, something happened on the road back to the Senate in 2020, and that's all right. You know, we went through redistricting. We had a third party in the race. It was a three-way race, and the other thing is we were in session until the 25th of June. Early ballots came out somewhere around the 12th of July, and so particularly from Tanga Verde South. Very little time to knock on doors and be at events and have people see that, you know, I've got two eyes and two ears and the nose is in the right place. So that's what it was. That's how it is. And I call it the perfect storm. You probably heard the perfect storm analogy before, but that's what happened. And so on we go. And now we're going into the 24 campaign.
So SALC was a big supporter of the redistricting, not necessarily the specific map, but we made it very clear. We thought Pima County is the second largest district in the state, deserved to have representatives from almost exclusively inside Pima County representing both parties. Because as you know, you've served in the legislature for 6 years. If you don't have representation from the majority party in the state legislature, especially not being in Maricopa, you're not going to get any bills or policies through to benefit your region.
I was very pleased when I found out that Dave Meehl had thrown his name in the hat to be considered. And I've known Dave. We went to the same church, so I've known him for a number of years. And I remember being in leadership meetings with both the House and the Senate. I said, "We want Dave." The Senate wanted to get Dave as our pick. Rusty Bauer as a speaker, we got him. But he made that point also, that he wanted a Republican-centric district in Pima County. It's been years since there's been a Republican living in the county, and you don't have, well, now you have it, but before that, you didn't have it. I mean, Senator Gowen lives down in Sierra Vista. I lived, had a piece up in your area. I had a piece of the county, but it was all split up. It was kind of like you went there for population and to make the votes, the numbers come out on registration. And Dave was adamant about getting that type of district, and he worked hard and he got it.
So let's talk a little bit about your previous experience in the Senate and why you in the Senate and in the House.
Yeah.
And you, for 6 years, you represented LD 11, which covered, and for full disclosure, LD 11 and LD 17 are the districts I lived in. So you served for 6 years as either my member in the House or in the Senate. But it also had a large part of Pinal County. So can you talk a little bit about what you felt during those years you were able to accomplish that sets you up for now representing the new LD 17?
Well, I was very fortunate. Even before the first before I was elected first time, I was talking to a former Speaker of the House, and he wasn't elected, and we were at a table much like this, and a number of candidates. And I asked, what is the key committee that you should be on? And without even skipping a breath, he said, you want to be on appropriations. I said, well, why is that? He said, well, obviously you have a look-see at all the money, you have the people's money, but if you know where the money is going and how it's being spent, you get exposed to childcare, you get exposed to education, you get exposed to our penitentiary system, you get exposed to the sheriffs, you get exposed to all this, not to be a specialist in any of them, but you know that there are people that you can go to and say, hey, why do they really need that? And we also did a unique thing. I was fortunate to be the vice chairman of appropriations all 8 years that I was there, four in the House and four in the Senate. We brought in all these various departments, Department of Emergency Management. We brought those people in. We brought the police in. Why do you need this, this, and this? Make your case in front of the Appropriations Committee. So we learned that way. So you get a broad scope of what government does, how it does it, and then how we spend your money, which is, you know, very, very important. And then I was also on Ways and Means, or Fiscal, which is pretty words to say, this is how we take your money. Never mistake, people don't give money to the government. The government takes it from you. And I'm always mindful of that and always have to repeat that.
So you were talking that you served as the vice chair on Approbes. How critical and what was the role you were able to play in leadership representing Southern Arizona when you were in the legislature?
Well, the main thing, when you sit on appropriations, you always take a wider scope because you're looking at all corners of the state. We passed a balanced budget, all 8 years I was in. We had a taxing decrease every year. Some affected different groups. Some affected business, some affected the insurance companies, for example. We have this funny thing called insurance premium tax that I'd never heard of until I came here. We have this crazy thing called the assessment ratio, which business owners out there in Radio Land will understand. And so we were able to reduce those step by step by step over the years. Those are the main things that I was able to work on. And I was fortunate enough, not my first 2 years, but my last 2 years in the House and all 4 years in the Senate, I was on the Speaker had asked me to be in the leadership group, as well as the President asked me to be in the leadership group. And the last 2 years, I served as a pro tem of the Senate, which I discovered what the meaning was of pro tem. Not good enough to be president. but it put me in a position to help negotiate the budgets and also deal with overall situations. The COVID situation that came up, I mean, when we decided that we had to get a budget like overnight, we introduced a budget on Monday. On Thursday, we figured we had to have a budget. On Monday, we presented the budget, and on Thursday we passed it. It passed, if you'll remember, it passed with the Democrats on. So you spend a lot more time going across lanes into the other side of the aisle.
And that's the voice of former State Senator Vince Leach. And we've covered what you did when you served in the legislature. And when we come back, we'll get to your priorities and why you think you're the best candidate to represent LD 17. You're listening to Jump in Tucson. This is 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Good morning and welcome back to Jump in Tucson. It's 9:19. I'm your host, Ted Maxwell, for the Engagement Hour. Matt Neely's behind and appropriately enough played Bruce's song, Prove It All Night. You have, elections are important. You have to prove that you can accomplish what you want. And we've got the chance to listen to both candidates for State Senate and LD 17 today. Currently speaking with former State Senator Vince Leach, 8 years in the legislature. You had 2 years off. And you decided you were going to run again. What led to that decision?
Something came off the track up there in the last 3 years. When I left, we had a $2.5 billion surplus. That's billion with a B. In January, the people that keep track of the money reported that we were going to be anywhere from $1.8 billion to $2.3 billion in the hole. That's a problem. And they had to scramble, and we can talk about this year's budget that just came out. Something went wrong. I wasn't there. I wasn't in the room, so I don't know where and how those decisions made. But to spend that amount of money plus go in a hole, what ended up to be $1.3 billion, is a problem. The budgeting problem was a problem because he had only three people doing it, the governor, the speaker, and the president. When I was there, you always included the whole Republican caucus. They got updates all the time to make sure that the Appropriations Committee was on target. We lost the Border Strike Force. Border Strike Force is gone. The $565 million that we put in there is gone. We put $365 million of that was dedicated to the building a wall. Surprisingly, there was only 11 miles of land in Arizona where we could build a wall. The rest was encumbered by other folks. That money's gone. I tried to track that because I still have a contact. It's gone. Nobody can tell me where it's gone. So the Border Strike Force is gone. We put $1 billion. You remember the water discussion in 22 when Rusty Bowers was still speaking. We put that year in the 23 budget, we put $1 billion in. That is gone. We put $333 million in a year. They took it out last year. Somebody made that decision and took it out again this year, and it's not forward forecasted. That's a problem. Most people in the state will do something with water every day. Shower, drink, do dishes, whatever. But we need it, and we need to find sources of it. And then we need to protect. And this wasn't a problem because they did protect ESAs and school choice. But those are the things that alarm me to get back in and say, I don't know what was wrong, but for 8 years it wasn't a problem, and something came off the track. And so rather than sit on the couch, yell at the TV, kick the cat, I decided to get up and run.
So if you get to be reelected, and what are you campaigning on as your priorities for if you return to the Senate?
We need to, in reverse of what I just said, we need to strengthen our border. The fentanyl crossing that border and killing our kids and killing people across the state is tremendous. The trafficking, the sex trafficking that's going on, and just the amount of illegals coming across. The housing program that we don't have and the homeless problem that we do have is only exacerbated by having additional people come across that are undocumented. We have to teach them in schools. I get it. We have to teach them. Many years ago, we tried to run a bill that said, we have to teach them. We just want to know how many we're here. We don't know that. It's not constitutional. So those are the things. Water, balancing the budget, and border. Those are the three things that I'm focusing in on.
So this year's campaign has been a different approach from the one 2 years ago.
Yep.
Some people have said it's a lot more aggressive. Some people have said it's a lot more personal. At the core behind your campaign is a belief obviously, that you would be a better senator for the district and for the state. So can you kind of elaborate a little bit on that?
Yeah, I think I can best put that out in a couple of different ways. First of all, the candidate or the senator that won now won by 2 points against a very nice Democrat, but not didn't have any name recognition, did not have any money from backing from his Democrat Party, and the current senator only won by 2 points. This is in a district that's got a 9-point advantage. What does that mean? We've got roughly 17,000 more Republicans than Democrats. Should have won that handily, without any question. The other thing is that last year's race, because I was in session, you can't do the opposition research, if you will. And through that opposition research, we found out things like she doesn't believe that 9/11 was put on by the Afghanis, that it was done by the federal government. Uvalde was a red flag, red flag situation to get red flag laws in. And it really wasn't the bad people that did that. And so the research is coming out, and she can't win a general election. What that means is, so we have to bring it out now to make sure that people understand what she is and what she's about and what she said in the past. And she may say it's not true, and she said that to me. It's in the papers. Everything that we have put out is documented. The fact that she voted to take away the Border Strike Force, to take away the border wall, that's in a bill. She voted for that bill. What really frustrates me is that the current senator voted to spend all the money last year, but when it came time to fix something, to put all the pieces of the puzzle back together and try to make everything fit, she voted no on the entire budget, voted no. One thing that really bothers me and should bother Southern Tucson is, and dollar-wise, it's not that big, except it's big to the School of Deaf and Blind. They took out $900,000, $890,000 from the School of Deaf and Blind. I've had people say, Vince, that's not very much money. Guess what? To the School of Deaf and Blind, that's a ton of money. That's a bright, shining star in Southern Arizona, and we should do everything to foster that. And plus, the current senator wanted to give them just a 2-year extension. That's wrong. You need to give, those are specialized people. You need, if you're going to bring people in on contract, you've got to give them some time.
Yeah, I also believe part of the senator's actions were to expand the eligibility of who could attend the School of Deaf and Blind, and I know that there were some supporters for that, and there were some that were opposed to it. When you do that,
I mean, if you have a heart hospital that focuses on heart, and then all of a sudden you're going to do liver, you don't have, you're not set up for it. Doesn't mean that you can't set up for it, but it changes the whole scope, and it takes away from what is already a gem. Maybe we need that. Not saying we don't need that, but I'm saying you don't take something that's working very, very good and start adding to it, and then all of a sudden, an analogy is, how many companies have you seen buy companies, and then go bad because they can't manage it all? Leave the School of Deaf and Blind alone. Let them do their work. Let them help kids.
So we've got a little over a minute left. So the closing question to you is, why do you believe that you'll be the better senator to represent, and let's keep it at the district level instead of going statewide. Let's just talk about how LD-17 is different than LD-11. It's more Pima County centric. How can you better represent LD-17?
So in my appropriation time, for those in the listing area that had to drive Oracle Road, or stop driving Oracle Road because of a terrible position, I was the one that finally brought that money home. We thought we had it in 2020, COVID hit, and we had to delay it, but it's done. It's now safe. I don't know how much we paid for some repairs to people's cars on that. I did a lot of work with the town of Marana on intersections. I remember there was a piece of land that the town of Marana wanted to use for expansion, and there was a problem with riparian land, and I was able to work a bill with the governor and with the Senate. I was in the House at that time to make that problem go away so that Marana could expand.
That's the voice of former state senator and candidate for the state Senate in LD-17, Vince Leach. Senator Leach, thank you for joining me this morning.
Vote, vote, vote. If that early ballot is laying on your table, vote and get it in.
Absolutely. When we return from the break, we'll have State Senator Justine Wodzak to hear her side of why she should be the representative for LD-17. You're listening to 1030 The Voice. Good morning and welcome back to Jump in Tucson. This is the Engagement Hour. I'm your host, Ted Maxwell, and that's Matt Neely behind the glass, keeping us on time and target. As you know, this show is about encouraging you to get engaged and involved. We have responsibilities as citizens of this great country. And I think at the basic level, the most important one is to vote, but more importantly, be an informed voter. And today we're focused on LD-17 and the Republican primary in that race for the state Senate. And I have the honor of having State Senator Justine Wodzak with me today. And good morning. I appreciate you joining me.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. So one of the things, I don't want to go too deep in it because of time limitations, but I always like to hear kind of everybody's story. And you're over 50 years here in Pima County. We actually first met at a event pre-2018 regarding the VA and services there. And at that time, you had no interest in running.
I this was not even a thought in the back of my mind.
So what was it that got you, made you decide to then jump in, as we like to say, and look at running for Congress and then running for the state Senate in 2020 unsuccessfully, but then successfully in 22? Why did you decide to step into that breach?
I have a severely disabled child, and we caught our caregiver stealing hours. She works through DDD, which is a state agency. And when I reported that and asked for an audit, DCS was weaponized against my family. So you can imagine, my husband's a retired Air Force major, 22 years veteran. I was a successful real estate agent. You know, we had a very good life, and all of a sudden the state got into our life and tried to destroy us, and I found myself fighting the attorney general. So it became very clear to me that my ability to beat the state in that issue, I was going to be able to help other people also with issues that were very similar, and parents' rights became my champion issue.
So in 2022, you won the primary and defeated an incumbent state Senator Vince Leach, who's now going to be on the opposite side of the ballot from you this election, with 41% of the vote. There was obviously Senator Leach and Robert Barr in there. So 2 years into your service, what have you learned and what are your experiences, and why do you think you're still the best candidate for representing LD-17 and Pima County?
I think because I represent the people. I really listen. My favorite part of the job is constituent services. Instead of working just with lobby and special interests and, you know, those who have some other need or want, I really focus on the groups that are part of my community. Listen to the people of Salk. I listen to the people of Tucson Crime Free Coalition, the Restaurant Association, the police, just trying to get an idea of what are the needs of my backyard. And when it comes time for budget or times for writing bills, my bills are very aware of what is happening here in Tucson. And Tucson and Pima County are very unique from the rest of the state in a big way. A lot of people will say, oh, Senator Wodzak, you're just writing that bill because you want to do something just for your Tucson people. And I'm like, you're right. Because for too long, we've been considered kind of the bastard stepchild of Arizona, and it's time to put Pima County and Tucson and Oro Valley and Vail and all of our, you know, Marana, all on the map up in the Capitol. And I think I've done a really good job of bringing the needs of the people of Pima County to the Senate and to the legislature, and it reflects in my bills, especially with the bills, the SCRs I ran to try and get rid of the charter city status down here that has really oppressed our ability to progress past this Democrat stronghold. And the other that was really a champion that just it didn't go through twice was the ward-only referendum. And if we can get ward-only voting, we can get two city council members on our city council. And imagine what we could do with that. So a lot of good things that we could get done. And I listen. I take every phone call. My personal phone calls on my private cell phone are always blowing up. And it's people usually saying, help me, I have a need, I'm about to lose my house. The DCS is gonna take my children because they found Afrinospray in my system. And so they're thinking it's a hardcore drug. Help me keep my children. I have so many people that come to me, and that's where my bill ideas stem from, is the people.
Well, I know in your first year in the term, we obviously working with a Southern Arizona Leadership Council and working with you on some of the specific bills for Pima County. You had learned in that first year that sometimes throwing too many bills on the plates not necessarily helpful to you, and especially your point of you were always ensuring that what you told people when you ran, you were going to run at
exactly.
the legislature.
Oh yeah, no, I made a promise. When you're running for office for 4 years prior to getting in, you keep a spreadsheet of all the different things that people say. When you get elected, will you promise me you'll run this or will you run that? And when I got elected, it was time to start writing bills in the fall of 2022. I had over 100 bill ideas because these were what the people needed, and I whittled it down to 53. So I cut half my bill ideas. Some of them were good, some of them were not. And then part of that learning experience is how do you get a bill through Ledge Council? And to be honest with you, until you serve for a full session, you really don't know who the good bill writers are versus the bad bill writers. And they're supposed to be nonpartisan, but when you get those bills back for you to review, you realize this was really written with a Democrat slant. I'm gonna have to set this bill on fire. It's not gonna work. But my biggest learning experience was being told to just put all the bills up, we'll fix them through committee. And that was the biggest mistake I ever made, because I didn't know as a freshman legislator that when you put the bills up, they go to the public. So the public got to see the good, bad, and ugly. They didn't know what I set on fire myself. So unfortunately, my opposition likes to focus on the bills that were not right. They weren't ready and they weren't good. But they should know that they never progressed.
So what would you say your biggest change in your second year was? And do you believe that you were more effective in that year? And
absolutely.
Can you talk about some of what you think are your accomplishments in that second year?
My first session was learning by drinking water from a fire hose. And so you had to learn trial by fire, because when you get in there, you realize no one is there to help you. You don't even know where the bathroom is. Nobody wants to help you be successful, because they don't know if one day redistricting will happen and you'll become their opponent one day. So everybody's kind of guarded as to how much they teach and show the freshmen. And so I learned so much that first session, but I'm very proud that I ran the bills that the people asked me to run. And, you know, some of them got through, some of them got vetoed. In my first session, I was able to get roughly 7 bills vetoed out of the governor. So as a freshman legislator, that's pretty impressive. I also got over 30 bills out of the Senate. I broke a state record in my first session as the most bills passed. Same thing in the second year, second session. I decided not to just run what the people were asking. I started to run what was the needs of my community, which really turned into the homeless, the crime, the fentanyl, the SMI. When I say SMI, it's severe mental illness on our streets. If you look at all the people that are homeless on our street corners and they're not getting the help they need, which I find to be very inhumane, our hospitals are overrun. Gospel Rescue Mission, a lot of our missions that are there to catch these people in their time of need are not being, they're not being given proper attention. So unfortunately, our police are beholden to the mayor, and the mayor tells them not to send these people that need help to Gospel Rescue Mission because of the Christian thing. So it became, okay, what can we do if there's this what I have coined the phrase, this carousel of failure happening in Pima County? What can I do from a state level to try and stop that horrible carousel? And that's where my bills really came into fruition in 2024. And I was able to get a lot of really good work accomplished for our mentally ill citizens, because we have people that are on the streets that shouldn't be on the streets. They should be getting help, therapy, medication, and let's save their lives. And that was kind of my directive.
Well, that's the voice of State Senator Justine Wonsack representing LD-17. When we come back after the break, we'll talk a little bit about campaigning and the challenges and adventures of running a campaign, and then get a little bit more into the issues that you really want to press for your next term in office. So you're listening to Jump in Tucson, the Engagement Hour on KVOI 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Good morning. Welcome back. You're listening to Jump in Tucson. That's Matt Neely playing the music and keeping us in line. Tomorrow on Jump in Tucson, Alan Kaith will be sitting in for Tom Moulton, and they'll be talking about the Tucson Velodrome project. So after Wake Up Tucson in the morning, stay on with Jump in Tucson. So we're speaking with State Senator Justine Wonsack, representing LD-17, which, full disclosure, is my district. I live up in Oro Valley, and SALC was a big proponent to have the second largest county in the state have districts that represented both parties. From 2000 to 2010, we had a strong bipartisan Southern Arizona delegation. 2011 through 20, not as much so. So with the new LD-17, you know, there's a lot of questions on, is that helping or hurting us? And I think by having voices in the state legislature and in leadership, it helps. So I know you want to talk a little bit more about what you accomplished in your last year up in the state legislature.
You know, one of my most proud moments was getting the governor to sign my bill that allows community colleges to have children, young adults, adults, older adults, go to Pima College or any junior college and learn a trade. I think our trade industry is sorely lacking. We have a gap that's coming right now. We have a lot of people that are in their 50s and they're going to retire. And then who's going to build our roads, our bridges, our buildings? We need infrastructure. We need training. We have a lot of jobs here in Southern Arizona. And when I speak with the job industry, it's we need people who are skilled, and they need to be skilled in the trades, IT, welding, you know, construction, electrical. And so this allows you to get that training without having to be a full-time student, and it's outstanding. So that was a big accomplishment.
Well, and Pima Community College is a driver of the economy around here, and there are jobs, and the trades are something that we're aging out in. So
yes,
I think, that's a big moment going forward. Any other issues from your legislative session?
I had some great behavior health and severe mental illness bills happen that are going to give medication to people who need it, make sure that they're being taken care of when they get transferred from one facility to the next. There's been a lot of holes in the system, and so people were getting harmed inadvertently, and so we closed a lot of those gaps. I also had seven bills vetoed. One of them was stopping the human trafficking that goes back and forth from the border, and I worked very closely with Sheriff Lamb on that. He was kind of my muse on that bill. He and I did a couple videos together while we were at the Senate and described just the need, because they're getting in front of children, getting in front of young people with applications, phone apps, and teaching them how to human traffic people, and they're getting $2,000 per illegal that they bring across the border and bring through the country. So I saw a video of his, and it just sparked an idea for a bill. We got that one. It was vetoed.
So I do have a question, because what were your thoughts on the budget and the process?
The budget, the first session was great. We each were given $30 million. We were able to take care of our district. And that's kind of the way I look at the budget should be, is that every representative and senator should be getting that part of their pie and doing what's right for their area. It shouldn't be five people in the Appropriations Committee determining what's right for the whole state. And with that, I was able to give $26 million back to the people through the Arizona Family Tax Relief Program. I was able to get $3.3 million to Mayor Honey for the I-10 Cortero interchange, and $1 million to the police for a probation program. So we were able to get some real things done. And then the second session, we were handed the budget. We were told, take it or leave it. And if you don't like it, you're going to lose everything you put in last time. And I fought for those things to stay in, even though I voted no on that budget. they took $15 million away from the airport authority. And I had just gone on tour with the airport authority, and I said, you guys are doing great work. We're growing in Tucson. We're growing in Pima County. We need this infrastructure, and that's what a state budget is supposed to be for, is for things like the airport. And they took it away. They swept it. And they touched ESA. I'm not okay with touching ESA. ESA should have been left alone. And I asked for millions of dollars to help with secured behavioral health facilities so that we could have some place to put people that are in need of behavior health and severe mental illness care, and it didn't get in the budget, so I voted no for those reasons and more.
Yeah, it was interesting to see it be a bipartisan budget that finally got through. But
yeah,
let's turn to the campaign.
Sure.
So 2 years ago, I think there was probably a lot of people were surprised by how strong you came out, and I do think you and the rest of Arizona's Freedom Team, Representatives McGarr and Jones, have probably one of, if not the best, sign campaign out there. And I still believe that they work, because
yes,
it provides name recognition and puts a picture, you know, both a face and an effort towards this, and obviously stressing the red, white, and blue and the freedom on that one.
Yes.
This campaign's been a little different. I think former Senator Leach has come back, and it's gotten, in some ways, you could say, nasty.
Yeah.
But more vocal.
Yeah.
It's a different campaign. How are you feeling about the campaign right now, and where do you think you stand?
I feel solid. I've put in a lot of work in my first year and a half as a senator, and my record, my voting record, my scorecards, my endorsements, they reflect the hard work that I've put in. The problem is that Mr. Leach does not have the ability to compare apples to apples. He can't take his voting record and put it next to mine and come out shining. So what he's doing is he's hitting me below the belt. These attack ads are over the top. I've never said any of those things about 9/11 or Uvalde, and I'm 100% in support of the border. In fact, I passed HCR 2060, which gives that exactly what everybody needs done with the border, is protecting those parts in between the points of entry and giving power and authority to the law enforcement, which is another reason why I voted no on the budget. I didn't think there was enough money being given to the sheriff's departments to support the need for the bill that we just passed. So I felt there were a lot of holes and a lot of issues. And so it's being responsible. And I feel like I've been very responsible, and I have the endorsements. I have, that those scorecards are, you can't hide.
So, what are some of those endorsements that you've come in? I did notice the Tucson Crime Free Coalition, nonpartisan organization, but they're working hard here specifically in Southern Arizona, and I noticed they've endorsed you. Any other ones you want to mention?
Mayor Ed Honey has endorsed me. I have some endorsements coming down the pipeline I can't talk about just yet, but one of them is a U.S. senator. I have the people. I have, I have the Fraternal Order of Police have endorsed me. Young Americans for Liberties Make Liberty Win. That's a Ron Paul organization that's for freedom and liberty. They endorsed me. There's a handful of others coming, but my scorecards, Arizona Free Enterprise Club, Center for Arizona Policy, Turning Point Action, they've all given me 100% scorecard ratings, which means that I have voted 100% conservative.
So we've been talking about having former Senator Leach on, and now you, to try to inform the voters on the primary in LD 17. What are your thoughts about the general, should you get through the primary?
The general is going to be really fun, because actually I think it'll be more fun than the primary, because the primary, this Republican on Republican hate, it's just, I think people are over it. They don't like the negative ads. If you're going to have a negative ad, you know, let it be between a Republican and a Democrat. To be honest with you, at least I'll know what I'm fighting. And with the Democrats, they're pro-abortion up to the moment of birth. It's a very dangerous situation, and I'm ready for that fight, and I've done it before and I've won, so let's go.
Well, that's the voice of Justine Wadsack, state senator representing LD-17. Wish you the best of luck as the campaign continues. It's stepping into the fire and public service of running for office is a very difficult thing to do, so thank you for doing it, and then, like you said, it's not always fun.
Please go to wadsack4arizona.com. That's Wadsack, the number 4, arizona.com.
And you've been listening to Jump in Tucson. This is the Engagement Hour. We look forward to continuing to help you get informed and get engaged. Thank you and have a great rest of the week.